Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Is your vehicle stopping like it should? Does it squeal or grind when you brake? Don't miss out on summer brake deals at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Of Ghana's Attorney General following his meeting with an accused person in the residence of a sitting justice of the Supreme Court. With growing calls for a further probe, former director of the Ghana School of Law says Godfrey Adame must resign.
Manner. I mean, if he has a conscience, no one should advise him. He has to advise himself to resign.
Well, more as a private legal practitioner calls for a commission of inquiry or a parliamentary probe into the allegations that Attorney General tried to get an accused person to incriminate the minority leader.
It goes beyond a simple trial of some two, three people. It goes deep into the criminal justice system. We should be looking at a commission of inquiry or at least a parliamentary inquiry into this.
Well, tonight, in his defense, the attorney says the time the meeting was held, the accused person did not have a lawyer.
At the material time that these meetings took place, or this meeting took place, Mr. Jakpa was not represented by counsel.
Well, tonight, former director of the Ghana School of Law, Mr. Ansar Sare, is calling for the resignation of the Attorney General and Minister for Justice, Godfrey Yeboah Adame, for meeting with a third accused in the ongoing trial of Dr. Casey Alatoforson, businessman Richard Jakpa. The Attorney General has denied any wrongdoing in the meeting with the accused. But speaking to MFR Power on the media news earlier today, Ms. Ansar said, since the Attorney General knows that it is unlawful to meet with an accused person outside of the provisions of the law, then the AG, having met with Mr. Jakpa in the residence of a sitting justice of the Supreme Court, must resign or be sacked by the president.
My candid opinion is that the learned Attorney General knows or is deemed to know the law. Apart from the judges, I think the other person we can see the law resting in its bosom is the Attorney General. The Attorney General ought to know where, how, and when he has to meet accused persons. And in the residence of a sitting justice of the Supreme Court, this is scandalous. And the Attorney General must resign, or the President must fire him. This thing happened in 1975 in the case of the Republic versus Dr. Isaac Onyinigan. A similar plea bargaining was entered into by the then learned Attorney General, who was also the acting dean of the Faculty of Law, the University of Ghana. Mr. Justice Austin Emisa, and Ghanaians will recall that it was that that similar plea bargaining that caused Osinemisa his job as Attorney General. For my respectable dummy to engage himself in this scandalous manner, I mean, if he has a conscience, no one should advise him. He has to advise himself to resign. Whether he can continue cross-examining him or not is neither here nor there. Mind you, under Article 88, Clause 1 of the 1992 Constitution, the Attorney General is the principal legal advisor to the Chief Executive of the state and the government of the Republic of Ghana. Under Article 88, 4 and 5, he has not only audience, but absolute control over the prosecution and conduct of criminal cases throughout the country. But my candid opinion is, let's discuss this, you know, within the context of Article 19. Fair trial. Will Article 14 have fair trial given the circumstances, or will Richard Gapa have fair trial under the circumstances?
Well, Mr. Ansah's comments are coming on the back of a call by private legal practitioner and law lecturer Dr. Justice Remsai, calling for a commission of inquiry or a special parliamentary probe into the allegations. Speaking on the probe Sunday evening, Dr. Remsai argued that given the weighty nature of the allegation and how it affects the country's criminal justice system, a special probe is required to bring a closure to the controversy.
This has never happened in our jurisdiction. I mean, I'm not aware that these things have happened before. How we handle this is going to define how we respect criminal justice throughout generations to come. When things like this happen, let's go back to history. When strange things happen in a country and things they've never happened before, what we often do is to set up a commission of inquiry. So if you look at all the commissions of inquiry from May 9 disaster, from all the commissions of inquiry, it is when things like this happen, which have never happened before, and we want an honest and open conversation about them, and we want a permanent solution to some of these things, we set up a commission of inquiry to have an open conversation.
And that's what you're leaning
yeah,
towards.
Yeah, that is what I think should happen under this, because it goes beyond a simple trial of some two, three people. It goes deep into the criminal justice system. We should be looking at a commission of inquiry, or at least a parliamentary inquiry into this.
Meanwhile, the Attorney General's Department insists the AG did nothing wrong when he met Richard Gapa without his lawyers. Spokesperson for the department, Isaac Wilberforce Mensah, told MFRPO that Richard Gapa did not have a lawyer at the time AG met with him to discuss his plea bargain request.
At the material time that these meetings took place, or this meeting took place, Mr. Gapa was not represented by counsel. Now, if you look at 1079, a person, an attorney general or prosecution can do these plea negotiations either with the attorney general or, either with the accused person or his counsel. Now, this particular accused person, in the course of this trial, has changed lawyers about four times. This particular accused person started with, I think the lawyer on record initially was Randolph Tumisi, and then moved on to, I think, one Echo Corsa or so.
But I'm not sure there was any point in time that he did not have representation.
You would realize that even when he was asked to open his defense, he did not have a lawyer. So there were several instances where he did not have a lawyer.
Okay.
There were several instances when he did not come to court, there was not even a lawyer in court representing him. So at the time the incident happened, he did not have a lawyer. As the negotiations continued, the accused person has fired or had fired their lawyer at the time.
Well, many have asked the question, why did the AG not defend himself when the matter was brought up in court for the first time? Well, Isaac Wilberforce Mensah says the AG will raise the matter again in court when he cross-examines Richard Gapa if he deems it is important.
It's not as if it's the Attorney General who was cross-examining the third accused person, Richard Gapa. The Attorney General will have the chance to cross-examine Richard Gapa. So it is not even tidy for there to be a back and forth in open court, especially when the matter is stated by the same third accused person are not even matters in contention in respect of the offence to which he has been charged. So I don't know if you're expecting the learned attorney general with all his experience to also respond in an angry manner or to be calm and then respond at the appropriate time. He will have the chance to cross-examine Richard Jakpa, and if he finds it important, remember, the people or the two persons on trial are being charged especially for causing or willfully causing financial loss to the state. A meeting that happened several years later has absolutely no bearing on an offense that prosecution has established and was supposed to establish that the offense was committed several years past.
Well, let's begin the conversation on this particular matter. We've been joined on the line by Mr. Ansar Sari, who is former director of the Ghana School of Law. I'm grateful to you for joining us here. Now, earlier you were making reference to a case in time where an attorney general lost his job because of the same, plea bargaining thing. How same is it to what is happening currently? You made reference to a case that happened. Exactly. And can you educate us on what exactly happened so that we could probably have the correlation between what happened then and what is happening now?
Okay, thank you. The incident happened in, I believe, 1975 or thereabouts. Dr. Onyeja had been accused of participating in the murder of one of his security officers. And in the course of the trial, he became necessary for a plea bargain. Now, we need to understand what plea bargaining means. Plea bargaining is simply an informal procedure, usually conducted in the chambers of the attorney general or the chambers of the trial judge, whereby the accused person could agree to plead guilty as an exchange for the prosecution to drop the case against him. That is what is meant by plea bargaining. In the case of Ohinejan, it was alleged that while the case was going on, he had made overtures to Jekedako, then the nation's top prosecutor and the judge, that he would rather plead guilty as an exchange for the prosecution to drop the case against him instead of, going through a full-scale trial. Simple and short. But the circumstances surrounding the plea bargaining were such that Otinemisa, who was not only the attorney general, but was also dean of the Faculty of Law of the University of Ghana, misconducted himself. That was the allegation. And he was made to resign. This was during the era of the National Redemption Council, as the NRC, under General Kutu Ekampong. Here we are. History has repeated itself. Dame is an attorney general. He knows what the process of plea bargaining involves. He knows that if he has to do it, it has to be carried out in his chambers or the chambers of the trial judge. At this time, what he did was to accept an invitation. Whether that is true or not, we cannot tell. And believe you me, this matter cannot, be tried in any ordinary court. What is likely to happen is that the executive will request the special prosecutor to take charge of the case, and then it will be buried in filth, trust me. Therefore, what we must do as a nation is to urge the Attorney General to resign. I am indifferent as to whether, you know, this case is tried, you know, to the end or not, because he will be acquitted anyway. If it is to be handled by the special prosecutor, they are friends. You will acquit him. And if you want an example, Cecilia Dapa, I told my students that the Cecilia Dapa matter will be curtailed midway.
So you are being handled. Mr. Zanza, are you alleging that if this case is given to the special prosecutor, it will be buried and that nothing good will come out of it? Is that what you're saying?
Were present, why those people were present, you know, who did what? So what happened cannot be described as a plea bargain. It's pure and simple, a deal that has been botched. That's all. Okay. It's not, you know, it doesn't meet the requirements of a plea bargain.
Okay.
It doesn't at all.
Stay with me. Let me bring in private legal practitioner Samson Ladi Ayenini. Grateful to you, Samson, for joining us here. Now, how tenable is the excuse that the accused did not have a lawyer at the time the AG was meeting him? And if it is true, how does that affect the allegations of wrongdoing on the part of the AG?
Those are matters of fact. And matters of fact, in the manner that we have come to be told, should not be difficult to be established through an inquiry. It is the reason from the very day I started to share my view on this matter, I said that the matters are so serious, they are so weighty, and they go to first the because there is the potential implications of, you know, crime and professional misconduct, it will be important that the matters are gone into in the interest of the parties, in the interest.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Of the Office of the Attorney General, and in the interest of criminal justice delivery, above all. Now, whether at the time he had a lawyer, he did not have a lawyer, we cannot establish that on radio. The facts will have to be adduced before, the evidence will have to be adduced before an inquiry, a panel, so that things can be properly established. So we don't end up imputing wrong when someone may not have done wrong. That's the point I'm making. And to give a suggestion, there's one impression that is created in the public by the display of the letters requesting for plea bargain and the commentary on the back of those letters. Plea bargain is permitted by law. Previously, since 1960 or so, and then not too long ago in 2022, this Attorney General led a very laudable process to pass the Criminal and Other Offences Procedure Amendment Act 2022, Act 1079. Now, when let me read a portion to you. It says that in section 162A, it's on plea negotiations. It says a person charged with a criminal offense may at any time before judgment, so the trial can be going on for as long as you haven't gotten to judgment, the person who is accused, the law says, has the right, is entitled to seek to, it says, negotiate with the Attorney General for a plea agreement. Except that if you go to subsection 3, it says where the accused person is represented by counsel, that is if they have a lawyer, the plea negotiation shall be between the prosecutor and the counsel for the accused person. If they say at this time, when the negotiation was going on or whatever it was, there was no counsel for the accused, I'm sure that when we check the record of proceedings in the court, but why should that be our job, really? So that if you have a panel properly constituted, they will help with all of this so that we don't end up saying somebody should be sacked, somebody should resign, when we have not done what we must do to be firm about what the allegations really are. And so, number one, plea bargaining is not something that is criminal or wrong. The law says you plea bargain to achieve about four things. Number one, to reduce the offense charged so that you may get a lesser offense. You say you are guilty, and then you could get a lesser offense for a higher offense that you were charged with. You could also get a withdrawal of the charge against you. So you could be the charges will be withdrawn and then you'll be free. You could also get to reduce the punishment for the offense charge within the law that is prescribing that offense. So plea bargaining is not wrong. Blake, the one thing that is curious to me though is that when you follow the narrative so far, the narrative suggests that he entered into a plea bargain and then there was a rejection from the Attorney General. I am asking myself a question. One accused person, through its company, the Big C, enters, makes a plea proposal. And the proposal is to pay 2 million euros. The total amount for which they are standing trial is 2.3 something, about 2.4 million. I'm asking, I want to understand why the 2 million was rejected. That doesn't sound too well to me. It doesn't sound too good to me. Why was the 2 million euros? And if you read the narrative, it says that later, because this was rejected, there was an enhancement of the 2 million euros. If one accused person, in a case where there are three standing trial, and one offers that amount, and we understand that Atufosin was requested to indicate whether he also wanted a plea, and he said no or something to that effect, which means we're just one person. The state was in the position to recover over 2 million euros out of 2.4 million euros. I don't know in the circumstances for which that kind of amount will be rejected. So I am interested in that one as well.
Okay.
But at this stage, I think that we all ought to be cautious in proceeding with so much emphasis and being categorical about things that we can allow due process to unfold. And
you seem to disagree with calls for him to resign now.
Someone resigning, that one is at their discretion to do. But I've heard him ask for dismissal outright. But the question I ask myself is, you know, the law is that you don't condemn a person unless you have heard them. That's the basic principle of law. So if the person is accused of something, and then we don't offer an opportunity to go into what exactly the situation is and to establish as a matter of fact. Because remember, whilst the Attorney General stands the risk of criminal prosecution if the claims of attempting to fabricate evidence is concerned are proving, which is a second degree felony could get up to 10 years in jail, there is also the aspect of professional misconduct if it is proving. And that could also lead to losing your license permanently from practicing as a lawyer. But the other side of the issue is that the person who is making these allegations that have such dire implications also stands the risk of perjury, the offense of perjury, which is also a second degree felony, which could lead him into 10 years in jail. I say we don't have to continue an endless debate and a media war, which will not get anywhere. There has to be a constituted inquiry that takes over all of these matters and goes through the process in compliance with due process, so that in the end, we will all be satisfied that the law has been followed. Somebody did wrong, they have been punished. Somebody did not do wrong,
okay,
they have been discharged.
Mm. Well, some are proposing a parliamentary inquiry or probe. Which form should a probe take?
I appreciate that proposal, particularly from Dr. Strem's side, because his argument is that the Office of the Attorney General, and I keep saying this, it is not a small, a mere place. It is a very important place, just like, you know, Dr. Ansari had just said. The office is a very important place. Article 88 of the 1992 Constitution provides for that office. So Dr. Samsai says, because he is a constitutionally created office, he may not be subject to the same rules that ordinary lawyer like me would have suffered if this thing were about me, and then a complaint would have gone to the General Legal Counsel. I don't exactly agree with that, because he's a lawyer to begin with, and in fact, it is your being a lawyer that qualifies you to become the Attorney General. Now, the point here again is that Article 88, the importance of it is that our Attorney General is not only the Attorney General, but is also the Minister for Justice. These are two important roles. In this country, by our Constitution, there cannot be criminal prosecution, initiation of criminal process and prosecution without the Attorney General. There cannot be a civil process against the state without the Attorney General. That is how important the Attorney General is. The Attorney General is the one that is the principal legal advisor to the government. And the president gives him, you know, duties, refers cases to him or matters to him to attend to for you and I on our behalf. So it's a very serious place. If something like this comes up about his office, and then we get confirmations that, oh, yes, indeed, something happened, but this is how it happened. That is how it didn't happen this way. And we begin to play it in the normal propaganda political game. It is not good, because the image of that office has to be protected. The image of the individual occupying that office also has to be protected.
Okay.
So let's go to it in a proper way, so that in the end, if these claims are proven and somebody is found guilty, then they suffer the consequences for it.
Okay.
Then we purge the system and the criminal justice system is upheld. Elsewhere, this will be something that may lead to a mistrial. The entire case will be botched, and the attempt to recover the money will be lost, not on the merits.
But Dr. Ansari also raises an important point that if he's still the Attorney General, there won't be fair trial for Dr. Atoforsen and all the accused persons, including Mr. Jagpa himself.
In the normal processes, when an inquiry begins, the people affected will be made to step aside if they are public office holders.
Well, but let me bring in Mr. Ansari here. So you've listened to something like Ladia and Inida. He thinks that we should allow the processes to take its course. There should be an inquiry to look into it to ensure that, I mean, because of the sensitivity of the office, the right things are done so we can have the right remedies. You don't agree?
I respect my friend's view, but on this issue, I beg to differ. First of all, what the Attorney General's Council is for a moral question. Morally, it is simply not right for him to remain in office while in the inquiry goes. Secondly, my friend has conceded that the Attorney General wields enormous powers. I don't believe that in this country there are two sets of laws, one for the Attorney General and one for the ordinary person. There is equality before the law under the Constitution. Now, if the Attorney General has misconducted himself or has compromised, you know, his office, the honorable thing for him to do is to step aside, just resign.
So that's on a moral ground, right?
Yes, on moral ground. Then on political grounds, I don't think that Ghanaians now have any confidence in the justice system or any confidence in the commissions of inquiry established by the president.
But no, these allegations are not proven yet.
Not the human being president, but the office. Now, throughout the tenure of this present government, no commission of inquiry or committee of inquiry has successfully terminated in, you know, any findings. It's always been exoneration, even in the teeth of the government being engulfed or overwhelmed by scandal. So day in, day out, we repeat the same thing. If there's an inquiry, I predict that the dummy will be exonerated, even though he knows. And something within me tells me that the dummy I know, didn't stand this thing on his own. He must have been under pressure. But whether it was under pressure or he did it himself, my point is a plea bargaining process has parameters. And the parameters are that it can either or may either be conducted in the chambers of the Attorney General, where all the processes and resources are made available, or in the chambers of the trial judge. So the Attorney General will be accompanied by one of his deputies, or by all means, the DPP. That is the director for the prosecution. Then the state attorneys handling the matter, the chief director, and the director of the DNI, because this borders on intelligence, and therefore the DNI director or a person authorized by him to represent him ought to be there. These people we are not told, you know, were there.
I'm grateful to you, but just before we wrap up, let me bring in Samson, because Samson wants to make a point. Lawyer Ladi, you want to make a small point here?
On the question about if the at the time the person didn't have a lawyer, the thing that we have to pay attention to is that we have heard the spokesperson for the Attorney General say that
in the conversation with the accused person, the attorney general was telling him, if I ask you this question, I want you to be direct and answer it and answer the question this that way. If it is found that in that process there was an attempt to coach the witness, that is frowned on by our professional etiquette rules. You are not supposed, the law says, a lawyer shall not coach or encourage a witness to give evidence which that witness believes to be false. So people like the spokesperson must also be careful what they are saying. But you see, the bottom line is that, Blaise, once again, let's converge everything. Let it converge at one point, a professional panel point, so that these things will be looked at. The law says if the attorney general is doing prosecution and he finds or the office finds that there are evidences or information that can mitigate or negate the guilt of the accused, you should make it available to them. So if the claim here is that, you know, there is something that is being planned, it suggests that maybe there is actually not a case.
Okay.
Which is also bad enough.
And okay.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.